Good morning, Cornerstone. Welcome to church. And I do not put quotes around the word church just because we can't gather here in this room. We are still a body. We are still the called out ones. And there is no virus, there is no government that can challenge that fact. By the power of God, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that we are on an unstoppable march of coming back together again. God is building his church, and there is nothing that can prevail against it. And so we will see each other again soon in God's time. And that's a promise. All right. Turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which one will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Our Father, we ask that you would bind your people together now, wherever we may be, Lord, that we are one body, that we would appear before you as one body, sitting under your word. Would you open your word up to us, that we may hear, that we may obey, and that we may be faithful in all things with courage and increased joy, for your glory, for your name, for your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of years ago, I grew interested in my family history, and I wanted to trace my ancestors back as far as I could. Well, the problem was my family is a little strange. Surprise twist. Anyway, and I was unable to get further back than my grandpa. There was me, there was my dad, and there was Grandpa Weeb. And that was it. The trail went cold right there with Grandpa Weeb. Because of some strange circumstances in my family, and no one seemed to know who my great-grandpa was. The connection had been lost. Eventually, though, I was able to track down an elderly woman in Winnipeg who was my half-great-aunt. No one in my immediate family knew her. Those few extended families who did know of her thought that she had passed away years ago. But there was a thread in the story that enabled me to find out that she was still alive, and as the story went, she was actually a bit of a family historian back in her day. So the chances were that if she was still alive, that she was probably the only person in the whole world who might have the information that I was after. Through a bit of a process, I was able to track her down. She lived in a small apartment down Henderson Highway in the city. And I went to go see her to see if she knew anything about my grandpa, who would have been her half-brother growing up, and if she might know who his dad was, which would not have been her dad, if you follow me. Anyway, I went up to her apartment, and I walked in, not knowing what to expect. And there sat this elderly woman who smiled broadly at me as if I was a dear friend and said, "Hello, Chad. How are you doing? How are your brothers, Jesse and Randy? How is your sister, Sabrina?" And I was somewhat taken aback as I didn't know her at all, but yet she seemed very familiar with me, and I asked her, "Do you know me?" And she responded, "I have prayed for you by name, Chad Weeb, every day since your dad died back in 1992. When I heard that your dad passed away so young, I knew that his four kids would have a hard life ahead of them. And so I started to pray for you specifically by name every day for all of these years. And now look, God has brought you here to me, right through my front door, right into my living room out of the blue for me to see. How are you doing, Chad? Suddenly, the real purpose of my visit became clear. I wasn't there to find out about my great-grandfather, which I did, by the way. She knew everything about him. I was able to trace my family back all the way to the 1500s. I was able to find out what year we came to Canada, what ship we were on. I found out the original homestead, where that was, out by Grunthal, the first Weeb homestead when we came. I learned all of that. But that wasn't why I was there. God brought me there in answer to her prayers for her encouragement and her joy. This wasn't about me at all. This was about her. She had invested in me all those years without me ever knowing she even existed. And now here she was, the only person in the whole world that had the information that I was after. And God brought me to her front door. This woman who had prayed for me, who had poured into me for year after year after year, and I had no idea. I was amazed. I was humbled. I was blessed. I was filled with wonder at who this person was, who knew me, who prayed for me, who loved me, and who knows what God had all done in my life in answer to her prayers over those years. I couldn't begin to imagine the blessing that this stranger had been to me and my family. What an incredible person to have sown into my life all that time. I'm convinced that I would not be where I am today without her and her prayers, which God heard and answered. And that day he brought me to meet her, and it was something I'll never forget. We reap what we sow. She had cast her bread upon the waters of my life. And after many days, there I was on her doorstep. So here is what we want to ask today. What are you sowing in your life? What have you planted that is currently growing in secret? What kind of harvest will you reap? We have been told to sow. And so we say, so what? Number one, this is verse one, sowing widely and wisely. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Here's the thing. It takes a long time for the harvest to come. There are, what does it say, many days between casting your bread upon the waters and finding them again, many days in between. The return of your investment is going to take time. James 5, verse 7. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rain. So what you invest in really matters, because it takes a long time for the harvest to arrive. If you sow poorly, you not only reap poorly, but you have also lost a lot of valuable time in the process. Time that you can't get back. The Bible tells us whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So this should make us pause and think, what am I investing in? Where am I casting my bread? Because it's going to take a long time, many days, for the fruit to come. And I may not get a second chance at this. So what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? Is it all just for me, just a temporal reward? Am I pouring out my life in laziness, in sowing seeds of selfishness, in building my own kingdom? Or am I investing wisely, faithfully, consistently, in good things, in things that I will rejoice to harvest, instead of things I will one day regret having had planted? Look, you plant one apple seed, right? It's really small. You plant one apple seed, one little seed, and you wait. Many days later, years, and you reap hundreds of apples. That's how it works. The harvest is exponential to the planting. You plant a little seed, and you reap baskets of fruit for years to come. You plant a single seed of corn, and you reap hundreds of kernels growing on the stalk. It's exponential. You sow a little of something, and you end up reaping a lot of what you have sown. The prophet Hosea puts it in the negative. He says, you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. It's exponential. You will get a lot of return on your investment, either good or bad. Now listen, Galatians 6, verse 8. The one who sows to please his flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, do you hear what's being said here? You sow to please the flesh. What does that mean? Well, that means doing things that are sinful, but feel like fun at the time. It's pleasing to the flesh, right? You sow to please the flesh, the sin that is in you. Just being lazy, getting drunk, I don't know, looking on stuff on the internet that you shouldn't, refusing to do the work, so much more. Things that in the moment feel like fun, they feel even innocent, but are sinful. I'm just going to take an extra drink tonight. I'm going to get a little bit drunk. What does it matter? Or I'm going to be lazy online when I know that I should be working. It's nothing. It's not nothing. It's not nothing. Look at the harvest of that little seed of sin, the exponential harvest from that little nothing. What does it say? It says you will reap what? Destruction. Destruction, a moment of sin. Listen, a moment of sin planted, an eternity of death reaped. Can you see it? The harvest that comes. Now, the opposite is also true. You sow to please the Spirit, and you reap eternal life. You sow faith, as small as a mustard seed. You sow that, as small as a mustard seed, that little bit. And what do you get? You reap eternal life. The harvest is exponential to the planting. So choose well what you plant. We're told here in verse 1, cast your bread upon the waters. Give to 7 or even to 8. Why? Because what you cast, what you plant after many days will come back to you. So if you do it well, you will reap a harvest of good things. And what is this casting of bread upon the waters? Well, it can mean a number of things. It includes your work, your business, your investments financially. It means your giving, what and how you give, how you bless others. It means how you spend your free time, your investment in your prayer life, your investment in your children or in others around you. Listen, Ecclesiastes is wisdom literature. There are layers of meaning in wisdom literature. And this is wisdom, and the wisdom learned is applicable all over your life. We're told to expect a return, right? We're said here, we're told here, expect a return on all of the different things that we pour ourselves into. Give to 7 or even to 8. Each one of those 7 or 8 will return to you after many days. There are many waters to cast upon, many returns to expect. Consider that. What are the things that you are giving yourself to? They will return to you one day, now or in the judgment. You will reap what you have sown. That is both a threat and a promise. The thought presented here in our passage is one of promise for the good. For the good, this should inspire us for the good. Cast your bread upon many waters, for you will find it after many days. A promise of good reward for a life of faithful obedience. That's what is being said here. So let us then receive that promise and be encouraged to plant widely and plant wisely and eagerly hope for blessing to come. Because now look at what is next. This is number two, hard times. Verses 3 and 4. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Look, things are going to happen to you. You can't stop them. Hard times. Hard times, friends, they will come. We just read that you do not know what disaster may happen upon the earth, may happen to you. Life is going to happen whether you're out there on an adventure or you're hiding inside under the covers. Life is going to happen. And with life under the sun, bad things are going to happen. When the rain comes, it may be water for the garden, or it may be a flood that is going to sweep you away. There's nothing you can do about that. When it rains, guess what? Everything gets wet. There's more wisdom in there than we think. Where the tree falls, there will it lie. That might be on top of your house. Things are as they are, and we need to be prepared to live in a world where the unexpected happens, where bad things happen, where we struggle, where we get disappointed, where we are hurt, and where we fail. A world where a virus invades and the world is changed in the blink of an eye. When the virus hit, the clouds were full, and guess what? Everything got wet. That's how it is. That is our world. That is the wisdom here. The tree fell and it lay right where it landed, and now we're listening to our sermons online. How long? How long, O Lord? But then notice the wisdom given to us in verse 4. If this is the kind of world we live in, where we do not know what disaster will come our way, how should we then live? Well, we've already heard that we need to cast our bread upon many waters. Invest widely, invest wisely. And now in verse 4, it says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Here's what he's saying. Don't overthink it. Get out there and live. If you're going to wait until the perfect time to act, you will never act. Some people spend all their time planning, watching the lay of the land, checking the wind, waiting for the perfect time in order to guarantee their success. And not only do they never succeed, they never even try. Because there is no perfect time. There's only time, and it's slipping away. One of my favorite sayings about life is, it's later than you think. So get out there and live. Wisdom is good. Moving carefully is very good. But not moving at all is not just a disaster upon the earth. It's a man-made disaster. Totally unnecessary and preventable. Yes, life can be unfair. It can be surprising and frightening. It can have our hearts broken. But the answer is not to bury your talent as the unfaithful servant did in Jesus' parable, if you remember. That's not the answer. The answer is to act, to invest widely and wisely. Invest what you have, whether it be one talent or 100. Act. In the question of what to do in an uncertain world, the answer is to act, to cast your bread upon the waters, giving to 7 or even 8, for you do not know what disaster is coming, what will happen upon the earth, and which one will produce the best harvest. You need to get out there and live. And you can do that with great confidence and joy. You believe that? Of course, the question is how? In this world, how can we do that with confidence and joy? Why can I do it with joy? And here's the answer, because God is working behind the scenes. Look at verse 5. As you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. God is working in ways we do not understand. He is working in everything, even the disasters. We must not be a fearful people, but a joyful people. Why? Because believers have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and He works all things together for good for those who love Him. We of all people should be joyful. Because no matter what disaster comes upon us under the sun, we have a God that is greater and who turns everything to our ultimate good. So cast your bread upon the waters. Invest widely and wisely. Take risks for the glory of God. You get out there and you live your life. Let the disasters come, because they will. When the clouds are full, it's going to rain. When a tree falls, it will lie where it fell. Life is full of things out of our control, but there is not one single thing that is outside of God's control. And He manages it all for your good. Burying our talent out of fear is not an option for the believer. So be strong and courageous. The Lord is with you. And what if you do try and fail? What then? God is working that to your good as well. In ways we don't understand, in ways we don't need to understand. We know that it's true, and so we pick ourselves up and we keep going. Listen now, failure to succeed is still success. When done in faith. You catch that? Failure to succeed is still success when done in faith. God is the master. There is no power under the sun that can resist His will. He will rescue you to the uttermost. So not only do we invest widely and wisely, not only do we get out there and act, taking risks for the glory of God, and not only do we rejoice in our troubles because our God is sovereign and He is for us, look at what's next. We also work hard. Point 3, verse 6. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Morning and evening we work. Not as workaholics, not as slaves to our jobs, but as those who expect a reward from God for His glory in whatever form it comes, whether by our success or by our suffering. We know that He will bless the work of our hands, whether in this life or the next. So we do not give up. We don't give up. We continue with joy to cast our bread upon the waters. We are workers. We ought to be workers for the glory of God. Now consider your day. Consider your day. Consider where God would have you cast your bread. What you will sow. In the morning you may sow in your work. In the evening, you may sow in your family or in others, your neighbors, your church, whatever. You may sow seeds of prayer, as my great aunt did. You may sow seeds of financial investment in generosity. Now, there's a field that produces. The Bible has special promises for those who sow in the field of generosity. With a willing heart and an open hand, sowing the seeds of generosity. And you will reap more than you can imagine from that field, I promise you. You will not outgive him. It may be many days till you see that harvest, but it will come. When the clouds are full, they will burst with showers of blessing upon your head, and you will rejoice in that day. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. We are called to work hard, to sow widely and wisely. Consider where you need to be sowing. I shouldn't have to say that I'm not talking about material blessing. May God have mercy on us if that is all we think about when we think of blessing. There are far greater treasures that he has for us if we would but open our eyes to see them and receive them. Now, let's review where we've come. It's a tough world out there. Bad things are going to happen. Suffering is sure. You're going to get hurt. You're going to have to learn how to play hurt. Waiting until you've got it all figured out means you are just going to wait forever because you're never going to have it all figured out. Difficulty should be seen as the norm. So how do we respond? As we have said, one, by investing widely and wisely. Pour out what you have. Give it your all in all that you do. Two, have courage. Be brave. Get out there and act. Do something. Because we have a God who is for us, who is for you. And in the joy of that knowledge, you get out there and you act. And three, don't give up. Work hard night and day. Don't quit, believer. Don't quit. Don't give up. You keep going. You pour yourself out with joy and with courage, trusting God. You keep going. There is a blessing coming for those who do this for the glory of God, those who die to themselves and live for God, who works it all out for good for you. But what do you do? What do you do if you've already messed up? What if you've already made a wreck of things? Some of you are looking at your life and wondering about that. What if you've made a wreck of things and you're already reaping a bad harvest? You seem to have failed. Is it too late? Is it too late for you? Is it over? No, it's not over. It's not too late. Not a bit of it. Not even close. If today you hear his voice in this sermon, what does it say? Do not harden your heart. Do not turn away. It's your day. This is it. Right now, he is calling. And that means it's not too late. Otherwise, he wouldn't be calling. The time to answer his call is today. To repent of your sin of the past and turn to Christ. He will forgive your sin. He will cleanse you from your failings. He will make you pure. And in Christ, you are made new. By his death and resurrection, he paid the price for sin. And he offers forgiveness, redemption for all who believe. If you have failed, take heart. The gospel is for you. Forgiveness is for those who have sinned. And you qualify. Jesus did not come for the righteous, but for the sinners. Friend, turn of your sin. Repent of your sin. Turn to him. The Bible says that whoever comes to him, he will not turn away. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. No, he has compassion. He hears your cry. So take heart. Repent and believe. Forgiveness and acceptance is yours in Christ. And then, oh, and then you start to plant afresh. You plant good seed and start doing the good works that he has given you to do, prepared in advance for you. They are a gift. These good works, they are a gift. Casting this bread, that's a gift. These things are given to you. Your future is full of them. He has prepared them in advance for you. He is pouring out into you because he has good things for you to do. Casting your bread on those waters, sowing that seed. He has planned that. He has given it to you. It's a gift. And moreover, that gift, it comes with a promise. It comes with a promise of good reward, shaken together, pressed down, and running over. So you start today. If you've messed up yesterday, then you start today. Wherever you find yourself, you cast your bread upon many waters. And through faith, by the promise of God, you will reap a good reward. Though we do not know what trials may come, what disasters may befall, and what we may have to endure, we can be assured that God is working through all of it. And so we do not lose heart. We keep going. The Lord is able to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Do not look to the past and be discouraged. Rather, look to Christ and find life. Find a future. Don't wait. Don't wait to act until the time is perfect. It's perfect right now. So what is it that God is calling you to sow? You start there. You start today. You start right now. And let the clouds burst. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you with all of our failings, with all of our sowings, wheat and tares both. And Lord, we offer ourselves to you, such as we are, nothing of our own merit, but on the blood of Christ, by his death and resurrection, we come, Lord, and we rejoice in your forgiveness. We rejoice in your acceptance of us, that we are free, and in your gift of life, your gift of good works to do. May you open our eyes to see where we ought to cast our bread. And Lord, that we would do so with perseverance and good hope, waiting patiently for the time of harvest, be it now or be it then. Lord, it is for your glory that we live. And Father, as we continue to meet as a church like this, Lord, it is our prayer that you bring us back together again here in this room where I am. Lord, that we may rejoice in one another, that we may encourage one another face to face. Lord, we long for that day, and we ask that you would bring it. Do your work. Do your work, Lord, as you have decreed in us and in the world. May we submit to your path, Lord, that you reap a bountiful harvest of souls as you continue to build your church. Give us encouragement and give us strength. May we encourage one another as long as it is today. Father, for your glory, we wait and we pray and we long, Lord, for you. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come soon. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.